Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you all for being here tonight. We're going to be in Philemon tonight, but I'm going to start somewhere else, and then we're going to kind of springboard to what we're talking about. Pastor Don this morning preached on James 3, on wisdom. And in his sermon, he made mention of the relationship between Paul and Mark. And if we turn to the end of Colossians 4, 9 through 11, we read this. And the reason why I'm starting here is because it mentions Onesimus and it also mentions Mark. And in Philemon, one of the main people that we're going to be looking at tonight is Onesimus, the runaway slave who had been profitable, saved by God, and then became profitable. And it's kind of a similar arc we see with Mark, who had left Paul when he was on that missionary journey. And when Barnabas had wanted to bring Mark with them, Paul had said no, he had left us, he was unprofitable. But here at the end of Colossians, we read this. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all the things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. Now listen to this. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. So we have Mark, who was unprofitable to Paul, now being a profitable comfort to Paul. And we will see something very similar with Onesimus in Philemon. If Pastor Adam can find Philemon. Titus. Okay. This week, Pastor Don and I spent some time together. We normally do that in a week, but he was helping me prepare this sermon. And in the process of doing that, he reminded me of something that I needed to be reminded of. When we deal with the Word of God, it is important that we ask ourselves this question. Why did God put this here? If we are reading the Word of God, or we are preparing a sermon, or we are preaching a sermon, that question should be always at the forefront. We need to know and understand what God meant when He wrote it. Our drive as believers is to honor and glorify God in all that we do. And we cannot do that if we do not understand His revelation. In the book of Philemon, Paul is making a request to his brother in Christ. The request is that Philemon would take his slave, Onesimus, who had been unprofitable and had run away. And we're going to start in verse 8 of Philemon and read through 19. And again, this is Paul writing to Philemon. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me now, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. As I said earlier, Paul is writing to his brother Philemon, a brother in Christ, and basically saying, you need to take Onesimus back, and here are all the reasons why. Philemon needs to take his former slave back because he is Paul's son, God had saved him under Paul, and he is profitable. Before we go any further, though, let's ask for the Lord's help as we look at his word. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that are here tonight. I thank you for your presence here tonight. I pray for your message, that it is clear, that it is concise, that it reaches whom you would have it reach. Help us to focus. Help it to touch our hearts. Help it to change us. Help us as we leave here to apply this to our lives, because you wrote it, and it is important. Thank you for just the opportunity to preach this message. Pray that it blesses whom you would have it bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Paul had concluded his greeting, which we covered the last time, and in it Paul spoke of Philemon as a beloved brother, a fellow laborer. He states that he has heard of the love that Philemon has not only for the Lord, but for all the saints. He truly was in Christ as Paul was in Christ. Paul then ties all that he has said about Philemon prior to the passages that we're looking at tonight, but he brings it together in this request. Therefore, knowing what I know to be true about you, Philemon, I, Paul, as an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, could use my authority and command you to do what is right, but I would rather make my request and rely on the love that we share towards God and towards each other as saints in Christ. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. And appeal there brings to mind certain images in our minds that aren't necessarily the right one. When we appeal, it's kind of, I automatically think of a court case that has not turned out the way I want it to, so I am appealing it. Paul here is making a request on behalf of his spiritual son, someone that he cared about, that he loved very deeply. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus. Onesimus, who had been saved by God through Paul while Paul was imprisoned. In being saved, Onesimus had been changed by his salvation. He was indwelt with the Holy Spirit. He was no longer condemned by his sin, And instead of walking in darkness, he now walked in the light with Christ. Anytime somebody comes into the fold, becomes a child of God, is saved by God, that is a supernatural miracle, the work of God on that person and in that person's life. If we look at 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Paul, in requesting to Philemon for Onesimus, who has been saved by God through Paul, Paul knew Onesimus when he was lost, just as Philemon had. And Paul had been used of God to lead him to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Paul was the spiritual father to Onesimus, and Paul saw him as a beloved son. Now let's pause for a minute and chew on that for a little bit. As a parent, we teach our children, we nurture our children, we love our children. We want only to see our children succeed. Paul loved Onesimus as a brother in Christ. Paul loved Onesimus as a spiritual son, and he is making a request to Philemon from a place of love, not from a place of authority, not from a place of strength. But make no mistake, it is powerful. The change that was evident in their lives through their salvation in Christ was powerful. And it brings to mind, you think back to all of the times in Christ, in his ministry, he came from a place of love rather than a position of strength, which he certainly could have. Paul continues speaking to Philemon about Onesimus. He is profitable. Who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him. That is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. Onesimus in the Bible is described as an unprofitable runaway slave. When he ran from Philemon, he was not saved. He was not serving God, and he was not serving Philemon. He was serving himself, and there was little room or desire in his heart for anyone else. Then he meets Paul, and everything changes. He is saved. He becomes a new creation. And Paul, who had seen him as lost, Philemon, who had known him as lost, he has changed. He has been saved. He is a new creation. Paul wished to keep him with him so that he could continue to minister to Paul. You think about when we are lost, we have no focus on anyone else, typically, except for ourselves. Yet, Onesimus had been ministering to Paul after he had been saved. Paul saw the change that God had brought to the life of Onesimus. Onesimus, in wanting to please God, ministered to Paul and had helped Paul. Paul tells Philemon to receive Onesimus, whom Paul describes as his very heart, the very core, the seat of Paul's emotions. Paul could see what God was doing through him in the life of Onesimus. And it cost Paul to give up such a loved and faithful helper as Onesimus had become to him. Paul was in a Roman prison at that time. When the term prison reform did not exist. Now, I have been to jails and I have been to prisons, never as an inmate. But when you are in those places, it is almost like the feelings of loneliness and the feelings of despair become tangible things. Any source of fellowship, any encouragement, even though he was an apostle of God, would have been a very welcome thing to Paul. So it cost Paul to send Onesimus back, but it was the right thing to do. It cost Paul, but it pleased God. It brought glory to God in that Philemon and the church that he had in his house would be able to see what Paul had seen. They would be able to benefit as Paul had benefited. They would be able to see what God had done in the life of Onesimus, the once unprofitable slave. Onesimus returned to his master with a desire to please God by serving Philemon as he had served Paul, as a fellow saint, a brother in Christ. Paul wanted to keep Onesimus with him so that he could continue to serve and help Paul on behalf of Philemon. Then he writes this to Philemon, "But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary." Paul is not just concerned for Onesimus. He's concerned about Philemon as well. Paul understands that it would be better for Philemon if he has a part in this, a say in what happens, an opportunity to be the person in Christ that he has been called to be. Paul very easily could have kept Onesimus with him. The right thing to do was to send him back. The change that had taken place in the life of the slave was real. And what a testimony and what a witness to the power of God to those who had known Onesimus before. Paul is giving Philemon the opportunity to show who he was in Christ, the love that he had for God, in accepting his former slave back as a brother. At the same time, he is giving Onesimus a chance to make good on a wrong that he had committed towards Philemon. So Paul, up to this point, has made his request that Philemon receive Onesimus. He explained why. He is Paul's spiritual son, saved by God under Paul, who once was unprofitable and now is profitable. And in verses 15 and 16, Paul shares his reasoning behind his request. "For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." Paul, writing to Philemon, is essentially saying, he was your slave for a while. He departed for a while. But you have gained a beloved brother for eternity. Beloved to Paul because of the fact that he is a brother in Christ, but much more to Philemon, because not only is he a brother in Christ, but he will also be a source of love and encouragement to Philemon. Whereas before he was not useful, how much more useful will he be as a fellow brother and a servant of the Lord? Paul knew, because Paul had benefited from the presence of Onesimus. Paul here is looking at the temporal and looking at the eternal. For a while he was unprofitable. For a while he departed from you, temporal. However, now you have a brother in Christ for eternity. Now you have a fellow servant of the Lord who loves and serves the same God that we do. If then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me, even your own self besides. In his request to reconcile Onesimus to Philemon, Paul demonstrates the love that he has for God in the love that he shows to his brothers in the faith. We know that it cost Paul to send Onesimus back. His desire would have been rather that he stayed alongside him. Paul tells Philemon that if there is any wrong he has committed or anything that he owes you, put that on my account. I will repay. What we see in Paul is his love for God in the love that he shows to others. He is selfless in his desire to serve and please God. We see him putting others ahead of himself over and over and over again. Paul had not wronged Philemon. Paul did not owe him anything. He sent him the unprofitable slave that had been saved by God so that he would help, encourage, and serve him by serving God. He was instrumental in saving Onesimus, and he takes upon himself the repayment of any wrong done to Philemon and any debt incurred. That is love. Paul had love for God and love for his fellow saints in Christ. Two questions that we should ask ourselves regarding this. Are we profitable? In other words, have we been saved by God? What we see in the book of Philemon in Paul's request is Paul lovingly reaching out to Philemon, asking him to receive a slave that had been unprofitable to him. And you can't help but draw the parallel between Paul and Christ. When Christ selflessly sacrificed himself upon the cross for our sin, that we who believe might be reconciled to God from the separation that was due to our sin and our sinful nature. If we have not been saved, then we cannot please or serve God, no matter how hard we try. We cannot love as Paul has loved. We cannot love as Christ has loved. Onesimus was convicted that he was a sinner by the Holy Spirit through the gospel message from Paul. He realized that he could not save himself and that he needed a Savior, and he put his full trust in Jesus Christ. Understanding that Christ, who knew no sin, took his sin upon himself and died upon the cross as payment for that sin, was buried and 3 days later resurrected. Paul, Philemon, Onesimus knew Jesus as their personal Savior, and it changed who they were, and it changed their eternal destiny. The wonderful news for us today is that the same God who saved them can save us. If anyone has questions, please come and talk to us. We would be more than happy to have a conversation with you about how God can save you. The second question is for those who are saved, who have been reconciled to God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Do we have the love for God and the love for our fellow saints that Paul had? Do we put their needs ahead of our own? Some may argue, but Paul was an apostle of Christ. Paul was an apostle of Christ. Paul, and he would probably be the first one to tell you this, was a man, just like we are. A sinful person, just like we are. But the Lord got a hold of him. The Lord got a hold of him just like the Lord got a hold of us. The same God that saved Paul saved us. We are indwelled by the same Holy Spirit. And even though we don't fully understand it, we are therefore also indwelled with Christ, and we are indwelled with God the Father. God called Paul to service, and God called us to service. Paul loved God. We need to love God. That love for God in Paul was reflected in the love that he showed to those saints around him. Therefore, the love that we have for God also needs to be shown in the love that we show to one another. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for this message. I thank you for your revelation to us through your word. I pray that we love you to such an extent that it flows from us, Father, and is reflected in the love that we show to one another. Help us this week. Help us as we leave this place. Help us to be better Christians. Help us to love one another because we love you. And we understand what we have read tonight, what we have heard tonight. Bless us this week, Father, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.